I didn't actually start it or not. I was going to say that he has. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pushing Media. A quick thing before we get into it, the graphics in the back, but I'll give you a little background information. Basically, Pushing Media is no longer with Social Esports, but we've not got the new graphics yet, so we're just running with the old ones. So apologies for that. Of course, as I'm actually aware, Pushing Media now is its own entity. I'm not sure whether it's going under the Retribute or their or the future plans for Pushing Media. But nevertheless, we'll deal with that when we get to it later. Today. But for this day, we have an interesting one. We have Kieran. I just want to see how he reacts. No, we've got Sam all the way over from Peak Home, Peak Esports. However, I know a lot of people just say Peak Esports, Peak Home as well.
Yeah, Peak Esports thing.
What one do you go with?
Peak Esports, but like the app, when we originally talked about it, was Peak Home. And like there's a team in America called Peak Esports. So like they have the Peak Esports app, but they don't, they're not even in esports, they're just Peak.
Oh, okay.
Sports, so it's kind of fucked. I did message them trying to buy the app, but they won't let me, so.
Well, is that what called? Of course, so Sam's going to be here with us today, of course, talk about all Peak stuff. I'm just going to say Peak just to make it 10 times easier and I'll get confused. All about the Peaks, of course, from start to finish and, of course, to where they are at now. So, of course, Peak Esports, I've just completely ruined what I've just said anyway.
I've got Ethan roasting my hairline.
Well, my hairline, bro. That's why I wear hats. So I knew what was coming for me. So I just literally hat it up, bro. It's just the easiest way out. Of course, from what I know or what information I've gathered, you guys started and joined in March 2014. Is that when Peak was originally started, or was it a different thing?
Yeah, so in 2014, a guy called Ellis had Peak, and I was actually playing for Peak back then. So,
what was you playing? Oh, God.
Yeah, Advanced Warfare. So, the only event I went on that game was Ant Pro 2. But we competed, me, two IRLs, and another guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Pegasi, you might know him.
So, yeah, he used to stream for me.
Yeah. So, and Pegasi, we all teamed for that. And I played for them. And it was kind of a bit rocky, not going to lie. It was like proper old school org shit though. Like, we didn't even have jerseys, nothing. Like, we just went to the event under the name. And I used to pay for like headers and everything. Like, I used to get $5 off my mum just to buy a new header because it was that dead. no joke. And then eventually, about 2 years ago now, I said to him, I said it was dead. Then I said, you know, what do you want for? And he said, like, as long as you take it and like do something with it, he said, you can have it. So I took it for and then took it over. I think it was about 680 followers when we took over. So, and then we kind of just built for no end, and I messaged Ethan. Me and Ethan kind of got the ball rolling. So, 2017, really, it's kind of like, started to become something a bit more serious. But even then, it wasn't even serious. It was just like almost like a hobby. It's like, I want to run an org. So, I feel that's why most people start. It's like, you just want to do it, don't you? You just think, that looks good, that looks fun. Like, when you miss the compete, you know, when you compete and then you're like, you know, you're not good enough anymore. So it's like, fuck it, I'm not going to compete, but I still want to be in that competitive kind of mindset.
Yeah, I get that. So would you say now it's more like a serious thing to you than a hobby?
100%. Like, when we first started, it was like so funny. Maybe chucking like, I don't know, £50, £100 a month, like just the basics. Basic graphics, we had like really dead teams, and then we were like, well, what even are we doing? And then we actually stopped for a while, and I just disappeared out of thin air for about like 6 or 7 months. And I was just playing like GBs with my mates, like I couldn't be asked to do it at all. And then I like realized, like, what the fuck am I doing? And that was start of 2019, like literally December 2018, it was, and I messaged Ethan. It's like, do you want to go again? He was like, because at the time he was in Bulldog as a director. And then he announced that he was going to be leaving Bulldog just because he didn't have like the money. Well, he basically didn't want to invest what they were looking for because he couldn't at the time. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And then we took back over then. Kind of thought, right, we're just going to throw a lot more at this time. And then we brought in Ilias as well. It's not just three of us, so. Things are a lot more achievable for sure.
And who are the other two? Of course, no disrespect to those guys, but from what I see on Twitter, I only thought you was the original owner alone. So obviously, no disrespect to those guys, but Talk about the other two as well, if you could.
Yeah. So Ethan is, to be fair, when Ethan first started, he originally when I took it over, he came on as management. And then he was like, look, I want to invest. And it kind of happened like that. So that happened. But as far as like competing, he hasn't competed or anything like that. He just has like, at the start, his knowledge in esports was so basic. But like, to be fair to the guy, like he's, Will's like flex. Yeah, he's put like so much time in. So good. And he, I mean, financially, he's literally, I've seen that guy on months with like, we've had to pay for events like Epic Land, for example, and the guy's lived off 20 quid. Do you know what I mean? For the month.
Yeah.
Just so we can do it. And like, that's why we get on so well, is because we literally just do anything we can to like make it possible. He's just a good guy. He's like, a lot of, there's no drama around him. Do you know what I mean? He's dead quiet on Twitter, which I always tell him about. He needs to up his brand, you know, try and like push himself a little bit more, get him out there. He calls me the mascot, so. Calls me the mascot because I talked. But yeah, no. So he's not really got a background in esports, but he like comes over from work and then he spends like 4 hours at his PC just doing. And then you've got Ilias, who was a Siege player, but he's also had. He used to. I can't remember who it was. He was managing. Maybe it was Nuclear Storm. I think actually Nuclear Storm. And then he came to us and he was like, "Yeah, I want to invest." So. We sat down, we discussed numbers, and then he's from Belgium, so it's a little bit weird with events and stuff. So but he always flies over for the events and stuff. He actually built a PC so the Danes could have an extra PC to play on. It's like the size of my PS4 is disgusting. It's so powerful. But yeah, so he's like main knowledge is the Siege kind of stuff. But again, that helped us a lot because we had a Siege team, and that's how like he came into us because he saw our Siege team. And you know, he's basically got massive insight into that kind of thing. And Ethan's it's always like I'm the bad guy. Ethan's the good guy.
Yeah.
Like I get annoyed at little things like I know like players aren't pracking enough if like people are fucking up, like just the silly stuff where it's people like oh
yeah,
but I'm like really does matter to me because I don't know whether that's because. But yeah, I was like, how aren't you playing like seven hours a day? And you want to get better? We had a huge debate the other week, and it was funny because we were talking about how like other esports outside of Call of Duty don't play anywhere near as long as Call of Duty players.
Mm-hmm.
Call players play like 6-7 hours a day, don't they? If they're not scrimming, they're playing, and it's like the Siege lads, for example, might only play two matches a day, two scrims, which is like two mats, and that's like quality practice for them. So, yeah,
I know League of Legends teams play a lot of day.
Yeah,
their matches are so long.
Yeah, it's just weird how it all works. Yeah, Ethan said it was NSG. Yeah, so I don't know. It's pretty strange, but Illy's a good lad. He's hard working, and then we've got Dom, who used to play Counter Strike pretty high level. He's a director for us, so. He's pretty important when it comes to all our decision making and everything like that. We've had like a lot of offers for people to come forward, but we don't really want to just snatch at them just for the money. You know what I mean? Because like sometimes it's best to recruit from like within. Because I think that's a mistake a lot of people make is they just go, oh yeah, you're offering me 50 quid a month, like I'll come on board. And then like that guy's got so much decision making. I don't think they understand how much it affects your brain like, at all. So. I think that's a mistake a lot of people make, for sure.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I've seen some strange stuff happen in this scene with orgs.
Oh, orgs.
Of course, on your Twitter as well, you just broke 2,000 followers, so shout out to you guys and congratulations, of course, to you and the guys that are in the chat from Peak. I can imagine that was a good feeling.
Yeah, it was a good feeling. I mean, it felt like it took forever. Like, but like, especially when we first came back, we were like, how do we break past that 1,000 mark? And that was probably around March time, just before CWL London. And we were like,
yeah,
how are we going to do it? It just didn't seem to move. And then we kind of just got to the gist, and it is literally just down to consistency. Like, you can have social media managers, like in brackets, you know, no one really needs a social media manager. I mean, get an app that fucking schedules all your tweets for you. So, you know, you just add in another middleman between yourself and your brand. And I can see why like larger organisations do it, but for us, like, we've never really seen like needing that. But consistency for sure. I think a lot of people struggle with consistency and picking up the right teams for the right reasons. Like, I've seen, and I'm just going to say it, teams like, what's that guy? Oh, Fuego, like, for example, sent that team to champs.
Yeah.
Probably spent, I don't know how much he spent on that team yet. But imagine how much money you could spend, like, you could spend that on, like, much more. Players don't care that they're playing for, they don't, because they play for much bigger fish. Like, they go to an event and they place at the event, wherever they placed it. They did all right, didn't they, I think?
Yeah.
After champs, that was it. Like, no one heard of it again. And, like, now it's just a meme because we're all getting, like, probably go aftershave or whatever. But I just don't see the value in that, whereas you could pick up... For example, when we picked our UK CS team up, our analytics and our followers just went through the roof because, like, super popular in the UK CS scene. And, like, we had the whole of the UK CS scene's eyes on us then because, like, we won the UK Open with them. Which, I mean, on stream, we had, like, on our own Twitch, we had, like, over 100 viewers just on watching the games. Just, like, crazy. And they were, like, so much cheaper than, like, any of our Call of Duty teams have been for events. So, I think it really depends, like, how you go about it.
Yeah, I think you know, money is a huge talk in esports. Of course, what you invest in, what you don't invest in, can all add up to a change in your org or essentially ruining your org, to be honest. I think if some people invest smartly, then you're going to be safe. But too many people, I think, play the safe route. But of course, onto your, still talking about your followers, of course, your Twitch is 152 followers, which I know you stream your CS games from time to time. And of course, your YouTube, which you guys are heavily content-based, which I like personally. You got 57 subscribers. And of course, one thing I wanted to know about, because I'm quite left I'll be honest, I'm quite left in the dark about Peak. I don't know a lot about you guys, so I'm interested that you can educate me now as well as to what you guys do and know. And of course, I've kept up with you guys as well. But one thing you do have, and we spoke about it before starting, nice delay, it was an extension. It's your YouTube series, which you do, and you said that, you know, that name was quite a long one to choose.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty important to get the name right because we didn't want to come across as something like too cringy, but we didn't want something that was irrelevant as well, because I think it's like, I mean, something you can like brand around, if that makes sense. Like, to us, that was like such a huge thing getting out there. And, you know, it isn't the most perfect thing in the world, and there's like a thousand things we'll do differently in Insomnia when we do it again. But like, for us, we wanted to like even just be, not even be different, but like lead an example to people. Like, if you have a camera and you have a fucking tripod, you can record somewhat of a series, if that makes sense. And even if we went to the hotel, we said, can we have this room? And they said, yeah, you can go in there. So we took the room, we recorded interviews with the players. We obviously recorded all the reactions and stuff. We've still got all the Counter-Strikes, but it's not really worth anything because obviously their team split. But we knew that like we had to, I don't want to say like up our game, but it was more like a consistent thing and something people would actually be interested in watching. Because I feel like a lot of teams, you see these like highlights, which I think are quite good, but like they're like 2 minutes long and it's just like music playing over, like recording the players having a fag or whatever. So it's like when people actually want to know more about the players themselves, we kind of base ourselves a lot on the players. So we really want to build the players' brands. So to us, like that tells a story of the player as well as not just us, if that makes sense. So. Yeah,
I get it. I think in the last episode of Newt, he hit it on the head with what you're referring to there. It's, you can give X amount of money to a team and send them to a LAN, but at the end of the day, to them, it's a, you know, it's a free tournament, it's a free holiday. They get to see their mates, they get to fuck around, etc. And of course, you essentially gain nothing if you know you end doing content with them as well. So, fair enough, you might win, you get a bit of exposure, you might get your money back. But still, like, content and everything is good to what you do. So, of course, the name extension, how did that come about and how long was it to actually try and get that right?
Well, it's funny because we were all in... We made a group chat. We're like, right, so this is what we want to do. We had Milsey in there, Rip Milsey. We had me, Ethan. We had Kremer, who's a Counter-Strike manager in there. And that should have been it. And we were basically like, right, we're going to do this documentary there because, like, Milsey's first time doing videography. And like, right, we're going to make it. We had all these ideas, we're going to do this, this, and this. But in actual fact, it's so difficult to do at the event. So we were just popping ideas around. Like, Ethan was coming up some weird shit, like the climb. And I was just, every time I say the climb, it's just Cyrus. And like, just some other names, which were decent names.
But yeah. It just didn't like, click.
Yeah, it didn't like pop, if that made sense. Like, yeah. I can imagine like releasing, like, I don't know. Obviously, if we were a much bigger size, you'd have like Ascension, like t shirts or whatever, like you could give out mm-hmm. whatever at events.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then that one just popped and everyone just agreed on it. But it took a while, like a couple of days, to kind of like come to something that everyone agreed on. And it just came to my head and I was just like, okay, yeah, it's called Ascension. Just thought it sounded good. So.
I respect that. Of course, guys, as well, in the Twitch chat, we are going to be giving questions to Sam as well. So throughout this, if you guys do have any questions, we will refer to the chat as well. Of course, keep it somewhat relevant and PG if possible. Who would name something The Climb, coming from Kyrgyzstan? Miley Cyrus, she made a song about it. So you hit the nail on the head there, pal. But of course, with Peak and your content as well, you did mention a little something behind the scenes to me, which you can briefly talk about. I think you said you could. The content that you have up and coming.
Yeah, so it has been like kind of put on a halt a little bit because obviously. And the initial plan was we were going to send Millsy all around the country this year and abroad, everywhere basically where our players are based. And we were going to do, one of the ideas we had was to do a mental health campaign and work with the players and maybe talk about their past experiences in gaming and mental health, because obviously I feel like you literally lock yourself in a room and play this game for 8, 9, 10 hours a day, whatever it is, and then you go to work, come and do the same. And I think that like a lot of players actually have things they can talk about which they don't, and I think it's something that we could have tapped into, which I think we're still really going to try and push to do. And there was a couple of, we were going to work with the guys over at Lucendi at it, as they, we all spoke about it, something that's in the works. As well as that, we had an idea, basically we're going to, we're all meeting up at a bar called Pixel Bar in Leeds. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
No,
which like to me it's crazy. I was speaking to who's the owner of it and I was like, no one knows about this place, like what are you doing? This could be like pretty sick. So we're now talking about boot camps there and all this kind of different stuff. And
awesome.
In the daytime, chill at night in the bar. They do sick food, everything like that. You know
yeah.
I mean? But I mean, it's even something they call like EG can look into. I mean, like they literally stream all the tournaments, the games and stuff like that. So they were on about getting a few of the UK EL teams down to the bar to actually play a game live there. So that was going to be something else. But the main thing for us was to, like, again, build the players' brands.
Yeah.
Because that is, that's all. If we build them, they're going to build us. Because you see most players, there's only a few that you pick up and have got maybe like 1,000 followers, decent profiles, you know what I mean? That you could go and you could fund Looty and I could see something behind it.
Yeah.
He's got a brand, he's going to add to your brand, but you've got like other people. Like, I mean, a lot of like Counter-Strike players, league players have like 10, 20 followers, no branding, nothing. So like, I think it's important to kind of like share it with them. Like, it's a two-way street. They're going to give you the effort back if you give them the effort. It's just what a lot of teams don't. They just say, there's some goes to this event. I'm going to have like something. I know it's off topic, but like, if you're going to send a team to an event, you have to be there. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? You can't, how can, I don't know how people do it. How can you? It's crazy. So yeah, I think the content stuff, that's real. So, like a lot of it's resting on certain things falling perfectly, so yeah.
Okay, I respect that, and of course obviously best of luck to when that comes out. I won't ask anymore because I know you want to keep a lot of it private, and obviously it's probably best you do for the release. Before we talk about obviously Peak and esports and what you guys are involved in, just when you guys first started to touch your point. So when it all first came about, you said that, you know, you got it off, I forgot his name, but you got it off your pal. Yeah, then obviously you hit up Ethan, etc. So to start up to Peak, how would you describe it? So I know a lot of people right now are looking towards doing esports organisations. And what advice would you sort of give to any of those people? And in your own way, how was it starting up an org?
All right. So for one, if you don't have the money, don't do it. I'm not saying I do, and like, to the actual fact, I don't.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go that way, then basic, simple costs, maybe build an investment team kind of like we've got. For sure, because without Ethan, without Illy and Dom, like, there's no way we could even, like, you hit a brick wall. Basically, people spend, if you ever think you're going to stay at spending 50 quid a month, like, you're going to hit a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a few teams are at now, like, they're not investing the money all the time. So you hit this wall and it's like, shit, where do I go from here? And the only way to get through is by investing, like, further, better teams, you know, competition. I don't know, I feel there's a lot of ways you can go about it. One thing I think that's key is to keep the competition there. A lot of teams, there's no competition. I remember used to go to LAN and I want to beat Bulldog. I want to beat DMG. I want to beat whoever was about back then. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And that was what it's about. It's like bragging, friendly, almost like banter as such. But some people are just doing it for the sake of doing it. And it's like, oh, I'm going to get a dragon and call it, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, do you know what I mean? Then like they last like 2 weeks and then realize they can't afford it because they don't price it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. When I did it, it was literally, I was kind of like everyone.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the continuing episode. Of course, Sam here. A little power cut, but nevertheless, he is back. It was a bit of an awkward time there, Sam. You just went complete black on me and you was just gone.
Yeah, that was it, mate. Hiding in darkness. So, yeah. What was I at? Was that?
I think I asked you about obviously starting up an org. I think you touched on obviously the money and starting it up, and obviously you was in the same position, but you still done it.
Yeah, because I'm an idiot. And now we're at the point where I, like, it was a stupid thing to do, but like,
it paid off.
If I didn't have Ethan, for sure, like, it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
To start with, I feel like you do need two, but you need the right two. Like,
mm-hmm.
You need a balance. There's two. If someone's done it before, then I wouldn't, because you need someone who, like, Ethan would always like sit back and let me make like a decision because he knew that I had more of an idea, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, like, I respect his decisions a lot more because we've come like up together, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
to
I get where
it. We're at now. I think if you've not got the time, then definitely don't do it, because some nights you are gonna have to sit up till like 4 a.m. just doing stuff, having meetings. Like, there's times at work where I like just disappear out of the shop and I'm having a meeting on Discord with someone because it's just, like, with a team or whatever. It's like, just different things, like taking time off work. I mean, you've got to be, I'm not saying like you have to be committed, but there's been times where like I've had people stay in my house for a week because they need to play qualifiers. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Shit's got to be done. So, like, you know, I had Qual Dog here for the ESL Prem qualifiers for Siege for like a week because his mum will let him play, bro. So, yeah, he had nowhere to stay. So, I told my girlfriend someone was moving him with us. So, he did. Came here for like a week and a half for my like 21st birthday and everything. But I just feel like people go on about this having like a certain way you look different to people. You know, that mm-hmm. sellable product, and I just don't think it's that. Esports is what it is.
Yeah.
There is 15, 20, 30 orgs the same. It's not about having a different brand. For me, it's about being better than everyone else. Simple fact. You can sell certain things, you can sell ideas to people, but at the end of the day, when it comes back to it, if you're going to call yourself something esports, then you have to have a competitive level of teams in esports. That's the whole idea. Optic were Optic because they had the best teams.
Yeah,
they have personalities in there as well. But if they had shit teams, like, and personalities, they wouldn't have ever got as big as they did, if that makes sense. They were 100 fees, 100 fees didn't enter and just go with shit teams. You know? When they did that in Black Ops 3. They entered, they bought a shit COD team, and they decided, right, we need to step back and reevaluate, like, where we're at and what we're doing. You know, so I think a lot of people forget that esports is about being competitive and having a decent standard of teams.
So. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think what you said there was a lot of orgs do the same stuff, and it literally just shows on the timeline. You'll see someone do a giveaway, 2 days later they're doing a similar giveaway. It's just, it's all rivalry, and it's friendly rivalry and everything, but it's like, don't know, as you said, you have to stand out and be unique and be different, otherwise you're just going to stay in the same path. But of course, talking about esports, we will talk about what esports you guys are in. So what I know, if I'm correct me if I'm missing one, you have Overwatch, R6, CSGO, Rainbow Six, CSGO, and of course you did just announce your League of Legends roster.
Yeah, so should we touch on the League of Legends first?
Yeah.
So
that was... Is this the first time you've been in League?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I have no idea about League myself, personally. So we knew we wanted to be part of like the UKEL because we talked to Tony quite a lot, and obviously he was involved last season.
Yeah.
And we knew it was a step we wanted to take. We wanted to take the step, like, we pondered it on the first season, but we knew we weren't at the point of being, like, ready to do that, which I think you need to really hit the nail on the head and the timing of things like that.
Yeah, 100%.
So we sat down and Munich and were like, yeah, we're probably not really ready for that yet. Let's just leave it, see next season. And the season came along, we saw the applications open. We were like, right, let's do this. Like, so we did the application form. Straight away, we got onto Watsy, who is actually an admin for ESL.
Yeah.
So he said to us, he said, look, I've never managed in League of Legends, but I know a lot about the game, and I know a lot of like pro players and like certain players of a decent standard throughout League of Legends who can tell us where the right players are going to be at. And we found that as kind of a good fit because he's going to learn at the same rate as us, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If I'd have brought in like an expert manager that cost me so and so amount of money, then we'd have been behind. He'd have been like, what are these guys talking about?
Well,
I feel like we're going to grow at the same level and understand. So we've, it was a competitive pick because obviously a lot of the teams, there's one standout team who I feel quite a few organizations are going for because it was a pre-built team, and that's the one that London have got. That is, I think, favoured to win the split by quite a few people. That was a pretty sick team, but I mean, it's well practiced and stuff. But we built what we can, and we're ready to try and take some teams by surprise. I mean, we've got a good solid team around them, good coach, good captain. So I feel we're pretty confident. Obviously, I mean, for us, like, it's literally first season, taking the feel out of it and just see how things are. Next season's like where we'll go on from, if that makes sense.
So. Yeah, I get it. Of course, CSGO as well. You mentioned quite a bit of success with the CSGO guys, what you have. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, you do stream their matches on Twitch as well. And you've been to a few LANs, I believe, of your CSGO teams?
Yeah, so we picked up the Danes last... I don't know if they started playing for us, I think, around July, August of last year.
Yeah.
And it was weird because I'd spoken to Zik a while before that, who's our IGL. And he basically touched on how he was going to build this young roster, got a few guys, you know. And we were like, young guys, let's give it a chance. Like, it really was like it was a stab in the dark, like massively. And he came back with this roster and said, right, you know, this is what we're going to do. We'll go to this event. They went to an event, I think it's called Dansk Fest in Denmark. Because they go to events like all the time.
Yeah.
And they performed pretty well. The players, a lot of advanced teams there, like pretty much all the teams are advanced there. And obviously we were in main at the time, but that team at the time was definitely like, would have got advanced in the next season if they'd have stuck together. So we went there, we played pretty well. And then we were taking the Siege team to Epic LAN because that's where their main event is. It's the only Siege tournament really. Insomnia is all right, but it gets like 2-3 teams. So we were taking them. So like said to the Danes, like, I said, why don't we, you know, fly them over? I said, I mean, it's going to cost a fair bit of money, but a lot of people are going to be like, well, how have these guys brought Danes over? Because no one brings, like, no one flies anybody over. Because it is a small event, and it's, you know, it's not worth the most, but we didn't really, no matter what event it is, unless, like, you've got, like, the new COD over bracket, it's just, like, a decent amount of money. You ain't making money off the prize pool.
Yeah,
I think there's 3 times now where teams have like finishing prize pool for us. We just haven't taken it because it's actually pointless. I think it's like 50, 60 quid like each time. It's just crazy. So yeah, we knew that it would cause kind of like a talking point. And we went there and we spoke to a few teams in the group. We then played a team called Batty Boys, who was a mix from the Vexed lineup. Some pretty good players, all our salary players and that. We drew 15-15 to them and there was no overtime in groups. So that messed up the group a bit. And we played London, last game of the day. And London at the time, obviously they'd won, I think they'd won EPS. They were a good side, but they were with Hawk and everything like that. And we played them. It was like the lads had been on top of like a 10-hour day. They'd had like 3 hours sleep. No joke, it's a rough day. It was like 11 o'clock at night at the time. We played them and they beat us 16-2 on overpass. Jeez. Yeah, so we took that and that put us into third in the group. So we went straight into loser's bracket on the Saturday. And we played Chrome, who were a decent side, and then we beat them. These are all best of threes now.
Yeah.
We played Chrome, beat them in a best of three, 2-0. Then we played then we played London again. London got knocked back into the losers. And we took map one. Yeah, we took map one. Then they took map two, and we went to last map. And I think we beat them in OT last map.
Jesus.
Okay, it was funny because they were like typing in the chat, oh, I hope your flights weren't too expensive, all this shit. Me, Ethan, and Illy, like, and Kremer just absolutely screaming at them. Like, it was like, I mean, the hype at COD event, and then like we were just going nuts. It's such a good event. We knocked them out. And then we went on to play Exilium, which is an interesting story because Exilium is the roster that we picked up for our UK team.
Yeah.
After, and I love all those guys. It's just funny because we played them and we went, I think they went 1-0 up and then we won second map and it went to last map on Mirage, and Mirage was the strong map. Like, that was the pick. That was Mirage, they're going to win this. And we beat them, I think, 16-12, but like, it was the most nervous feeling I've ever had. And then we were, I think, top four at that point. And we were playing next, we were playing the Last Resort, who are an okay team, but like we were like, fuck, we're playing TLR, like, we've got this. Everyone was like, are you going to win this? And they basically played us. It was fair play to them. Someone had told them that we were going to pick, what did we pick? Nuke, because Nuke was one of our better maps, so we picked Nuke, but what we weren't told was that was their best map. So they were like, fuck it, we're not going to pick Nuke, we're gonna let them pick it, because we had higher seeds, so we got first pick, which meant they picked Vertigo, which nobody practices Vertigo. I mean, the Danes play it a lot in the Danish Pro League, but they don't like crack it as a team. So they came out, they beat us on Nuke, about 16-8, they played really well, and then they just destroyed us on Vertigo, and we were out like that. But and then obviously Buzzkill went on to win the event with a pickup team. But yeah, so I mean, I kind of went off topic, but it's a worthy investment for me with the Danes for sure. I had a lot of followers and a lot of like media at the event and stuff were like all over it. Then we picked up the UK team afterwards, and like I think it was amazing. Like you know, we won UK Open, which is full of like a lot of good teams. That went really well, and then they had qualified for Epic Land Finals at Grosvenor Casino in Coventry. So there's like, I don't know if you know, but there's like six events throughout the year at different casinos throughout different like cities.
I didn't know
and
that.
Then you go and you qualify, and then you have to win it to qualify. So you win it and you go. We're at the finals, and like everyone was, we were expecting to do pretty well. I mean, Vexed were there and Fierce were there, so two advanced teams, both on salaries. So top teams, and we knew they were going to be difficult. We played Vexed first game, but we were already like, we'd literally been off a high, like completely. And they just destroyed us, which we weren't really too bothered about because it was like, I don't know, it's like a fucking, in COD, it's like someone playing, I don't even know who it is, someone like Dave and that, you know what I mean? Like winning a war. And then, yeah, we got beat by them, and then we played Chets.
Yeah,
Chets are like Swaggy. I don't know if you know any Swaggy like that, anyone like that. And they're good side. They're in advanced as well this season. But we've beaten them like three times in open, and we're like, fuck this. So we played them, and they just absolutely destroyed us. We couldn't figure out why. And to be fair, they had the next pro on our team. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
And then last game, obviously, we were already out because it was simple as that. It was just like three games. You've got to win two to go through. And then Chet's actually went on to win the event. And that was the end of our UK team. People had to leave, people were in relationships, the girlfriends didn't like them playing. Well, we made our roster change. Basically, what happened was there was a team decision to drop Stempy.
Yeah.
Now, the team decision was made, so we dropped Stempy, and then within half an hour, three other people were like, well, Hoy had to go back to... I don't even know where he's fucking from, bro. That's terrible. Wherever his family is. Hong Kong. So he went to Hong Kong for like a month to see his family. So no one had any contact with him. We had Treux, who was happy to stay in the team, and then Joshua was like, I'm quitting. MBO quit. So we had like one player left, so that basically disbanded straight after that. And that was like, but it was super sad because there was so much potential in that team. And that, like, we get super connected to players. So yeah, that was the whole CS malarkey. But there's definitely so much value in streaming the games on ACO. Like, it's so cheap. I mean, luckily we've got Kremer, and obviously because he's management, he doesn't cost us anything. He streams all the games.
Yeah,
he loves casting our games because he's so invested in the teams because it's like his baby. But even when he can't, like Louis2K, Rory, you know, I mean, they usually charge like £5 a map or something. It's nothing. And brings in the views. But a few teams have done that. I like Socially's team. That's because they've like got quite a few well-known players in their team from the UK scene. But a few have just like picked up random teams like out of open. And it's just like, yeah, but no one wants to watch them. You know what I mean? So again, it comes back to the point of being competitive with people.
Yeah.
So
it's that healthy competition.
Yeah.
Of course, as well. So without trying to give too much away, because obviously I know you can't, what would you say are the future plans for Peak? With not trying to give away too much, obviously.
This year is pretty much do or die. Like, this year, I need to start seeing like a big growth, you know. So in terms of future plans, there's some stuff that sounds crazy to the ear, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But we want to hit like new heights of what kind of UK teams are having, follow through with a lot of things that to like make people go, oh shit, like these guys are serious. I don't know, it's hard to say, but we want to get new levels of teams in for sure. Contracts are coming to end, teams currently, I might as well announce it now on here that the Danish roster is going to be splitting.
Okay.
Due to personality clashes, players not wanting to play with certain people, fallouts. So yeah, that one's going, but we are in talks with another team, and then there is one more team that if we get is like really, really fucking good. But yeah, basically new levels of like teams for sure. Like we've went from open to inters to main, and now we want to take the step up to advanced and salaries and that kind of thing, and really focus on like building a professional team rather than just a, you know, team. So yeah. But us, like, it's getting that right sponsor, that right investment from someone that can really push us onto that next level. Just really focusing on the brand itself. And, yeah, they're having the right teams for sure, if that makes sense. So.
No, man, I get it 100%. Of course, though, I think for me, though, most of my questions I've run out. So, of course, guys in Twitch chat, if you do have any questions, as I said earlier, please feel free to drop them in. And we will ask Sam, just make sure they are somewhat relevant. One thing, though, I want to know is content and your YouTube, Twitch, etc. For this year, is that going to play a huge part then?
Yeah, 100% massively. Like, it's going to be, like, consistent. No, so when people say consistently, say, like, monthly, we're trying to build something weekly, like, at least, like, really the inside of the players' lives. So, like, almost like you would see an organization treat professional players where they send people out and, you know, they record the whole background to the life, do shots. We want to like take the players to places where like, oh, this is where I went to school. Like, this is how I got to this point.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
This is the background, and really deep it, like 30-minute episodes of like full how they got to where they're at and like where they want to go personally. Go to like key places in their life, like, you know, like, I don't know, someone might find a city where they grew up and they went to a certain place. This made them, this is where I bought my first PC. This is where. So, yeah, take it outside of esports. you know, be more like a football team would, you know, to do certain interviews with players. They don't just go, oh yeah, like, hi, I'm this guy, I'm this player for this team. They go further back than that, and they kind of like, well, knock a door that's not been opened. So that's kind of the aim.
Yeah. Mr. Mikey TV said, what's one esports you'd love for Peak to enter in the future? Or just, I mean, generally just enter, I suppose.
Esport this year to enter. I don't really know, because obviously League was like our main aim for this year.
And you can play that one.
Yeah, but if there's going to be like something we could enter, I think potentially the new game that Riot are dropping.
Project something.
Yeah, when is that released? Is that this year?
I think it is this year.
I think that's going to be a massive thing for a lot of teams, because that's a guaranteed good game right there. And like good support from the
makers of the game and stuff.
So potentially that, or any other games, I don't really see like that much in right now. Like FIFA for me, it just doesn't really do it.
Yeah,
There's no support from FIFA themselves. No one really wants to watch FIFA. You know, you can't.
I think it's a difficult thing to watch, because it's not a football game, but it is a football game.
It's like you guys being at LAN and casting and being like, oh, here comes Neymar down the line. Like, you're not going to get hyped because it's hard to get like invested in. I don't know. There's not really. Obviously, you have the. What was that other game that came out? There was a game this year that popped for like a few months. It's kind of like, it wasn't like Counter-Strike, but it was, oh, I can't remember what it's called. It's like certain games that just die off anyway. I don't really think there's anything else there.
Yeah.
Unless I'm just being dumb and not really thinking. But...
I mean, I think I'm with you, because obviously you are you're in CSGO R6 Overwatch. Jesus Christ, what was the other one? League of Legends, you just announced that. You're like Battalion. There's chat
Battalion, to them. Yeah. That's so quick, because there's no developer support. Mm-hmm. So, but like something as well, I want to touch on like other orgs building far too many teams.
Yeah.
Too many teams. Like, if you're small, start small. Like, don't get six teams, because that's when it all goes wrong, because you run out. You need to be organized, understand what your costs are and where you're going to put our money and stuff, and just stay away from stream teams, man. Stream teams. Just a nah.
Yeah, stream teams are a difficult one. I think me and George touched up on that the other week. Tenacious said, what do you feel is the biggest mistake people making going into owning an org? I think you answered that earlier. I don't think it was here. So, just touch up on it briefly for him, I suppose.
Biggest mistake, underestimating the cost, the commitment.
Agreed.
And like what it takes, like having the mind for it. Like, you can't just jump into it. It's not something you can just go, oh, I'm going to get a logo and then get a designer to do this. Like, when you get to a certain size, you're gonna end up with like designers on your payroll, staff, players, you know. So just kind of do your research beforehand, and don't, as I said a minute ago, don't rush into having so many teams and stuff. You know, start small, and really, to be honest, your Twitter and your brand is your main thing at the start, not your teams, and then the rest should really fall into place.
Mm-hmm. And the last question before we wrap it up, it's from Tenacious again. He said, if you could only achieve one goal of yours for Peak this year, what would it be? Of course, he did say this year is do or die, so what would it be?
Put my staff on a payroll. If I could pay the staff, like, because, you know, you've got people like Kremo who literally works his ass off for us.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. Milsey as well, obviously she's taking a step back for now. But people like that who I could... make this like I don't need to right now, do you know what I mean? I don't need to do my full-time thing. But like to see the staff, because this is literally what it's about, like giving people that opportunity. So if I could put like make the staff be able to have a job in esports, or even if I could provide somewhere else for them to have a job, that would be like the dream for sure.
I respect that. Of course, so that is it from me. I'm all out of questions, and I believe the Twitch chat is. But just before we wrap it up, of course, thank you for coming on. Of course, thank you for taking time out, even though you had to dip halfway through the episode with your power.
Stuff, mate.
But, tell the viewers where, of course, they can find you, Peak, etc.
Yeah, so we've got all the socials, Peak_home on Twitter, Peak_home on Twitch, YouTube's Peak Esports. I'm Pete Canny on Twitter. Anyone can DM me. I'm not a genius. I don't know everything about it, but I'll help people like with what I can. Do you know what I mean? That's one thing I don't want to people thinking is like, I think I know everything because I definitely don't. Mm-hmm. Far from that. I learned from some mistakes, like big mistakes. So
yeah,
just if anyone wants to DM me about anything, just ask me because I learned so much off people, like Lucendi, Socially, Newts, Bulldog, you know, even Will, Gleedy, like everyone. It's all about networking and really building your brand for other people for sure.
100%. And of course, thank you for taking the time out to come and chat with us over here at Pushing Media about Peak. And of course, we wish you the best of luck this year with all your plans. And I hope that we can catch up again sometime throughout this year. Of course, we'll stay in touch in the DMs, but I mean on an interview level, of course, again. But guys, for this episode, episode 9, The Climb with Peak Canny, this will be coming to an end, I suppose. And as I said at the start, of course, we will be getting new graphics for the next time around. The Socially logo will be going, of course. Jamie Birch took the step back and took it away from Socially. So I believe I still don't know what's going on with Pushing Media at the moment, but we're muddling through me and Cryossi over here. But nevertheless, thank you to everyone that tuned in. And of course, I believe if you do go follow our Twitter, which you can just scroll down and click the panels, you'll be able to find that and you'll be able to see who our next guest is, because we have some cracking guests lined up for the next 4 weeks or so. So we'll see you guys soon.